Tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? It's time to simplify. Whether you own a big business or a small startup, Empower Payments can save you money. Streamline your payment process while saving money today with Empower Payments. Learn more at empowerpayments.com. That's empowerpayments.com.
We'll say is he stayed with one organization his entire career. Now, some may say his game-winning hit or his home run in extra innings in game one of the World Series. Some may talk about when he broke into the major leagues. Some may talk about when he led us back in game three against the Angels when we were down in that game and he got the bases loaded hit and a lot of his plays. But what we'll all come to the most important thing is he stayed with one organization his entire career. Loyalty is celebrated and respected by all of us. Commitment and loyalty are foundational to what we desire to see and honor in people. And Alex Gordon lived that.
Yes, he did. And he did it, you know, with a really rough start with the Royals. I mean, it was, and I mentioned this with Blair Kirchhoff last hour, man, there were a lot of people, you know, calling him a bust and, you know, what a terrible pick and all these different things and until it really started to click for Alex Gordon. And those were difficult times. I told the story. I remember, you know, we made the decision. We're not going to go ask him for an interview because he's answered enough questions about struggling and up and down and what the problem is. And then, of course, it all came together. But Gordon asked about sticking it out during those tough times, said he was never going to quit, even as bad as it got.
I would say, you know, at that time in my career, I think it was 2009, I had the hip surgery and then 2010 broke my hand and then had the position change. But I think that gives credit to my mom and dad throughout my life. They've always taught me hard work and to never complain and always stay positive. And that's kind of how I've looked at everything. And it's been kind of a great way to look at baseball. Just it's a game of failure. And, you know, the only way to, you know, attack it is to be positive, keep your head up and keep working hard. So that was just kind of one point in my career where I had to make that challenge to myself, and that's kind of how I attacked it. So I give a lot of credit to my dad and my mom who raised me like that.
He stuck with it and went on to win 7 gold gloves and be a 3-time All-Star, be a 2-time American League pennant winner and a world championship. A very, very satisfying career to say the least for Alex Gordon. Known for his work ethic, all the time he puts in. Todd Lebo telling the story about Mike Matheny saying, you know, he told Matheny he was going to retire and they were talking. And then he said, okay, I got to go shag fly balls. Like, what? Like, you're calling it a career. I mean, it's okay to mail in the last week. Like, nope, so going to work to the very end. Well, not just going to work to the very end, right? We know how healthy he is. Who was it who ran into him? One of us did. Anyway, ran into him over at the – it wasn't me, but ran into him at the hen house and said the cart was just full of healthy food, right? Just full of healthy food. He's not only a hard worker – you know, just healthy, 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 healthy. That's what he's known for. Gordon said today that may end, but not until the season's over.
Definitely probably Minsky's Pizza on the last day of the year. My kids have been begging me, so I'll probably binge a little bit of that on Sunday. So that's the question, or that's the answer to that question. All I've been thinking about is pizza. So what was the other question you asked?
So it's nice to know he is human.
Yes.
Right? That's what we found out right there. He is human because he likes a life without pizza is not a life I'm willing to live. Okay? I will tell you that. And no. Clearly I resemble that remark. But it is nice to know that, yeah, okay. Do you think we're ever going to see Alex Gordon, the big fat ass?
That's what I was thinking. A year from now, Gordon's 270. Hey, what's going on? Suddenly he's Bob Hamlin. Hey, what's going on?
Like, he strikes me as the guy who's always going to be in great shape. Like, watch him, like, 3 years from now decide, you know, bodybuilding's my thing. and he'll be, you know, mad. Or he'll go the other way and be like, you know what I love? I find this zen satisfaction in running or cycling or you know, or triathlete. And all of a sudden we'll be like, oh, God, man, look how skinny he is, because he's gone all in on endurance, you know, training or something. Like, I don't think, though, big fat ass is ever going to be part of the equation with Alex Gordon. Talk show host off the list, right? You know, not going that route.
It's a prerequisite. You cannot be in too good of shape to be a talk show host.
No,
I'm sorry, sir. Absolutely. You're a little too lean. Throw some cheese on something.
If you're dedicated to your craft, you just don't have the time to be in Alex Gordon shape, right? And so I'd like to think that Curtis and I resemble a true commitment to the sports talk regimen, the sports talk grind. Because if we were in great shape, you know we weren't taking our job seriously. You know, based on the fact that you can show a movie on either one of our backsides, that we are committed. We are committed to the sports talk effort.
But on mine, you can actually show like the cinematic one, like Spartacus, like the ones that are really wide. Yours just the 4:3 aspect ratio. Mine gets the CinemaScope.
Yeah, well, then again, you got, you know, you're a foot and a half taller than me, too. That's part of the equation as well. All right, so let's talk a little bit of Chiefs. You know, Tyreek Hill talked about how hard it was to get started against the Chargers. There's going to be no fans against the Baltimore Ravens. And I do think so, and I've talked to some people that were in the traveling party that were out there, and they said, listen, it was weird. It was kind of spooky. Like being in this massive building and there's no fans, and even though they kind of pipe in the sound, you know, it was there's just no energy there. I asked Andy Reid today if having no fans in the stands, he thinks, affects his team's energy.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I've been doing this for a couple years now, and I mean, you get out there and you can hear, it seems like every penny dropped there. So it's every little sound is magnified. So, but when you really get into it, you're like focused in. You put yourself in a bit of a tunnel and you're looking at the clocks, whether it's a play clock or whatever, and then the field. And so once it gets going, it's okay. It's just that initial coming out in a brand new stadium, nobody in it, that's a little different.
I think it is tough for them. They're a team that feeds on that energy. They like to have fun. You know, I mentioned it the other day. The Patriots are kind of like, let's go out with this surgical, you know, all business or lawyer in court type of mentality. The Chiefs are excitable. They you know, play off the fans.
They're like a rock band.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of what they are. That's
off the energy of the crowd.
Absolutely. And no crowd there. They don't have that to play off of. And I do think that was a problem for them. Now, the question is, does it suck the energy out of them every week? Or do they learn to adjust and adapt? Do they find a way to create that energy themselves? And that's something that'll be interesting to watch for. Todd Lebo asking Patrick Mahomes, and I know Todd and I have talked about this a number of times, and he said, listen, he really wants to find out, like, you know, how different is it? Like, we know what we hear on TV, and they're piping in some crowd noise, but, like, what's it really feel like down on the field? And I want you to listen to how immediately Patrick Mahomes jumps on this this question from Todd Lebo. Lebo asked him if it was easier to get guys to jump off sides with the snap count when there was no crowd noise.
Obviously, you get to use verbal snap count on the road, and especially when you're playing places like Baltimore, you're not going to be able to use that because of the crowd, and especially Monday night. So that definitely is an advantage. Only thing that's kind of a disadvantage, you have to change a lot of your code words on a lot of your audibles because everybody can kind of hear you on the TV copy and everything like that.
What would you compare it to? I mean, like, how loud was it? They say it's 70 decibels. What's that sound like compared to anything else? Is it louder at practice when you guys pump the music and crowd noise in, or what's it even compared to?
It's like practicing in the locker room with no one else in there. There's literally no noise, and it is different. It's not like practice. Because practice, you at least get music playing that kind of gives you something. So it's all about feeding off your own energy, and we didn't do a good job of that last week. But we can't start off like that against this team if we want to come out with a win on the end.
It's kind of like practice in the locker room with no noise.
Yes, I thought the same thing. I was like, I can't. I'm just trying to imagine them. You know, it's locker room's not that big, but How would you do that?
Yeah, I mean, he was all over that question. Yep. Like, oh, God. Yep. I mean, that's like, it sucks, right? It sucks. And I don't know who was, I think it was Charles Barkley. I heard Charles Barkley say, listen, I think one of the things this pandemic has taught us is how much we need the fans and how much the games need the fans, right? Listen, I'll take it on TV, you know, as opposed to not getting it. But it is like, I'm watching the NBA, and I think the NBA playoffs have been absolutely fantastic. And I actually like the more space. I'm probably the only guy that's weird like that. But I was like, you know, what would it be like, you know, packed, you know, screaming, yelling Miami, you know, Boston, you know, going nuts, fans right down there on the court, you know, make a big shot and everybody jumps. And, yeah, they get the little virtual fans. And I actually thought that was kind of goofy at first, but I've grown to be like, okay, this is – you know, hey, it's at least some fan interaction, right? Especially when you see, you know, Brooks Koepka pops up in the crowd last night. Yeah, and right, Dwayne Wade, right. Muggsy Bogues was in the crowd last night. You know, that's been fun, and I give the NBA credit for pulling that off. But, you know, you miss it. And I thought it was great of Charles Barkley to talk about how the sports miss the fans, and I think you can tell there. Patrick Mahomes, yes, the Chiefs, the NFL misses the fans.
And they've done that kind of like that ambient noise you can hear, but mm-hmm, there's something different. In baseball, it isn't as prevalent, but in basketball, and particularly football, those moments where you can't fake the crowd noise. On a big play, when the entire crowd goes boom, you just don't get that now, and it's noticeable, more noticeable than, yeah, I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it absolutely is. All right, Darren Smith, who you hear on weekends and hear over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, asking. He has really been a lot of times the point guy talking about the social justice issue that's going on, the protests that are going on in this country. Obviously, last night was a very painful night for people everywhere, I think. And Mitchell Schwartz was at the podium, and Darren had a chance to ask him his thoughts on, just because, you know, a lot of the African-American players have been asked about their thoughts, their opinions, what they're doing about Black Lives Matter. He wanted to ask, hey, I'm going to ask one of the white players, what do you think? He asked him about the Black Lives Matter movement, about the voting issue, about what Tyrann Mathieu is doing, what Patrick Mahomes is doing with the voting issue, the Chiefs turning Arrowhead, along with Jackson County and Casey Moe, into a polling venue for the election. And then asked him about the grand jury decision yesterday to not hand down criminal indictments in the killing of Breonna Taylor in Louisville. What were Mitchell Schwartz's thoughts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Black Lives Matter is probably the most important thing going on in our society right now. That, you know, ties into the election, like you were talking about in terms of voting. You know, Pat, Tyrann, they've done an awesome job with that. You know, Tyrann's whole thing is trying to take kind of the stigma off it, make it cool, make people, you know, look forward to doing it. And I think, you know, situations like last night, you're realizing, you know, how much power that we need to have as citizens, and how do we utilize that? I mean, for the most part, it's voting. Like you said, it's putting in people that you want in those, you know, elected leader spots to make sure that, you know, society is running the way it should be. And I think, you know, a lot of people are realizing that now, and I'm hopeful for, you know, as big of a turnout as we can get on the 3rd.
Tough night, right? I wanted to build, yeah, to that. I left that one at the end on purpose because I don't know where I would go after that, right? We're going to take a break and go to Jeff Passan here in a minute. But tough night last night, right?
Tough night on top of a lot of tough nights.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that event by itself in a vacuum would have had a reaction. It's just that it's the, not the culmination, because there's more to come, but just the last in a line of difficult decisions and things of that nature that have come this summer. That's where I'll leave it.
Yeah. You know, I saw all the murals and all the drawings. What an angelic face, you know?
Yes.
Just beautiful young lady, and just so sad. So sad. And Mitchell Schwartz commenting on it today. So we will take a break, and Jeff Passan will join us from ESPN next. You're listening to the program here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Time to talk some baseball with our Major League Baseball insider, Jeff Passan from ESPN. He's brought to you by our fine friends at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. You know, they got an app now that is the quickest, fastest, easiest way to get your Joe's to go's. You can get it right now. Just download it. Clickety click, click, click. Pick the time and you are rolling in and getting your carry out. They are ruthlessly efficient in what they do. And I mean that in the most positive way ever. You know how they rocket through their lines? Well, they do the same thing with the curbside. Get that app and take advantage of it. It is Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. Of course, you can send Joe's wherever you want. Just go to joeskc.com. And don't forget, Monday to Thursday, they got their 2 to 5 special, $44.99. Get 2 pounds of smoked meats, 2-pint-size sides, pickles, and sauce. It is a great, great deal. It's at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, the original in the gas station of 47th and Mission, out in Olathe at 119th and Strangline, and in Leawood at 117th and Row. It is Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. We welcome Jeff Passan to the T-Mobile guest line. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm actually having some Joe's for dinner tonight, so I am fantastic, Petro.
Life is good in the Passan household. I'm happy to hear that, my friend. Happy to hear that. Alex Gordon, retired. What do you make of his career? What's your lasting memory? What do you take away from his contributions to the game?
I'm going to get a little personal here, and I apologize for that, but we're gonna get back to Alex for a second. So as you know, based on our conversation last week, I turned 40, right?
Right.
And I don't feel old. I don't feel any older because I hit that milestone. I feel old because Alex Gordon is retiring.
Yeah.
I remember. No. Listen, I got hired at the Kansas City Star in 2004. And I kind of had no business getting the job. Like, I got hired as a national baseball writer when I was 23 years old. I had no
good, because I wanted that. That confirms what I thought about you. That's good. I'm glad to hear that. That's
what that I had no business covering baseball back then. It's totally true. Totally true. I mean, I remember. You'll get a kick out of this. Mike Fannin, who's now the editor at the Kansas City Star, runs the whole paper, was a sports editor at the time, and I got sent to the minor leagues to go cover three pitchers who were at a Royals affiliate. One of them was it was Jamie Wright, who was a journeyman. It was Ryan Buckvich, who was kind of like on the cusp of making it. And it was a 20-year-old right-hander named Zach Greinke. And apparently my first month at the Star had not been particularly distinguished, because when Fannin asked our assistant sports editor at the time, Holly Lawton, "Where's Passan?" She responded, "He's in Omaha." And Fannin said, "Exactly where he belongs." So it was not a good start for me as a baseball writer there. But I do remember when the Royals drafted Alex Gordon. And if you recall, he did not sign immediately. Like, he registered for classes. He was looking into going back to school to get some leverage, and he ended up signing with the Royals, of course. And it's been, 15-plus years now that he has been with this organization. And to me, what I take away from his time here, it's not just the World Series. It's not just the way that he has conducted and carried himself. Alex Gordon is a dying breed in sports. The person who stays with one franchise for the entirety of his career. And I do not begrudge anybody for exploring his options in free agency, exploring her options in free agency, for looking for a better place. There was no better place for Alex Gordon than Kansas City. And I always appreciated that about him, not just his loyalty, not just his temperament, not just his professionalism, not just his grace, But the fact that he never went looking for something better because he recognized how good he had it.
Could he have found better anywhere else? I mean, not to kind of rain on, you know, it's Alex Gordon Day here, but like, I do think the flip side of that is I don't know that any organization, listen, he had a tough go of it. He struggled early, and that's one of the things that stands out to me is how bad it looked like it was going to be to then come so far and win a championship and 7 gold gloves and 3 all-stars and everything that the career ended up being. But, like, the contract the Royals gave him, I mean,
you know,
there was more out there?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if there was more out there, but there was that out there. He could have gotten that somewhere else. He could have gotten 70. He could have gotten 72 somewhere else. I believe that. But I think teams also looked at him and said, he, like, him winding up in Kansas City is almost like where he belongs. It's where his heart is. It's where he just won a championship. I mean, Alex Gordon was not ever a star. I think the closest he probably came to it was in that first breakout season of his back in 2011. But he was very good, and he will be a deserving Royals Hall of Famer, and he will have his number retired, I believe. And that to me,
interesting.
I think so for sure. I think he should as well. To me, he embodies the championship Royals more than anyone, more than Hosmer, more than Moustakas, more than Kane, more than Salvi. I think Alex Gordon was the person who really defined the ethos of that team. He was the grinder of grinders. He was the worker of workers. He was the guy who, you know, just moved the lineup, just move it along. That was him. He was never somebody who was flashy. He was just a guy who worked to make himself great. And what's that if not Kansas City?
So retiring numbers is about effort more than production.
I think retiring numbers is about what you mean to the franchise. And I think he meant more to the franchise than any of those other guys and had similar meaning to the franchise as someone like Frank White. And I think Frank White, in the end, was a better player than Alex Gordon, but not by a whole lot. George is in a different category altogether.
Right.
But I look at this era, and I ask, and I'll ask you, Seren, I feel like they won a championship, a number has to get retired. Whose number is better to get retired than the guy who spent 14 years in the big leagues and spent 16 seasons with the whole organization?
So can I clarify the question? You said they won a championship. Off that championship, whose number is more worthy of being retired?
Yes.
That's the question?
Yes.
I would put him probably fifth in line.
Behind?
Behind Eric Hosmer, Mike Moustakas, Sal Perez, and Lorenzo Cain. And I'll tell you my reason why, and maybe today's not the best day to have this discussion, but you asked me, so we're going to do it. Because the Royals had Alex Gordon and they weren't good. And the Royals have Alex Gordon and they're not good. And in between, they had Lorenzo Cain, Mike Moustakas, and Eric Hosmer, and they were good. And I appreciate the all the time. You know, I've talked about for years, I said, especially when he was struggling, and I thought a lot of people were taking what I would consider to be cheap shots. People in the media, people on the same radio station that I worked at were taking cheap shots at Alex Gordon. And I always said, I really want Alex Gordon to end up being good, because I think Alex Gordon's the perfect guy that a father can turn to his son or daughter and say, or mother can turn to their son or daughter and say, that guy right there, they said he couldn't do it. They said he was a bust. They said he sucked. He kept working, and look at what he is today. And so I really appreciate what he did from that standpoint, because I always wanted it to end this way, right? So I'm thrilled with how the career ended up going. But if we're to talk about what the championship was, and while he's had a marvelous career, and I don't argue the Royals Hall of Fame, I have a vote for that. I will vote for him on his first ballot for the Royals Hall of Fame. I don't get a choice on retiring numbers. I would object to that a little bit, because I do think while he was a part of something, and yes, his work ethic is renowned, I also think it's, you know, listen, I think at times like today, and you're a writer and a really good one, Jeff, not that your ego needs any stroking, right? Actually, that didn't come out the way I wanted. You know you're good. That's how I meant it. I didn't mean to sound like you're an arrogant ass. You know you're good, right? You're really good at what you do. And I've read your work in books. And writers are romantic by nature, in my opinion. And so at times like these, which are romantic times, I think your mind goes, right? I'm not a writer. I'm not a romantic. I'm more of a, you know, a numbers. Hey, what'd you say?
Nothing. I didn't call you a turd on your show.
Turd. Yeah. I love it. I'll take that. I guess, you know, I think I'm an emotional guy on emotional times, but maybe not about sports, but I don't see his career that way. I mean, I see the contract. Listen, I'll go back to when he signed that contract. I said, if this contract prohibits the Royals from keeping Moustakas or Hosmer, it will be a mistake. And I said, I think this contract is a mistake. I think it's too much money for what he's going to deliver and where he's at. And I think that has bared out. And I think that contract did keep them from doing some things that they could have done that would have made them a better team. And so, you know, romantically, his being a career Royal, there's value in all that. His work ethic, his leadership, there's value in all that. But if we're gonna write down our numbers 1 to 100, what's the career at? I think your number's gonna be a lot higher than mine. I think he was part of a team, but I don't think he was. Fifth. Would you put him ahead of those other four guys as far as importance for the championship?
I would. Okay, so let's do a few things here.
Okay.
Number one, I think that Eric Hosmer spent 7 years with the Royals. Lorenzo Cain spent 7 years with the Royals. Mike Moustakas spent 8 years with the Royals. I think unless you are like a Hall of Fame caliber player who came up with the team, that when it comes to retiring numbers, I gravitate more toward the lifetime Royals. And we see somebody.
Wait a minute. Hang on. You're changing the narrative.
No, I'm not changing it at all. I'm not
sure you are. Your point was about the championship.
Right.
Let me finish.
I'm discounting your argument against those guys. I don't think they spent long enough with the team in order to be above Alex Gordon when it comes to retiring numbers. I think retiring numbers does have some sentimentality to it. And I think that if you're going to look at a guy like Salvador Perez, we got to see where his career goes. I can totally see Salvador Perez being someone whose number is retired or who winds up and his career, his number gets retired over Alex Gordon's. I can see that. Right now, I do not think that's the case. I want to see where he goes over the next 5 or 6 years and what his career looks like. I will say this, Seren. When you look at all-time great Kansas City Royals, there's George Brett and there's everyone else, right? Mm-hmm. I think Alex Gordon fits in alongside Frank White. I think he fits in alongside Willie Wilson. I think he fits in alongside Amos Otis. I think he fits in alongside guys of that ilk. And you know, you can argue that Willie Wilson or Amos Otis's numbers should be retired potentially. Maybe Willie Wilson probably more than Otis, you know, for my money. But I think the fact that Frank White is kind of opens the door to other guys. And to me, Gordon and White, very similar. I know Frank is from Kansas City. I know Frank probably – stacked up some more awards, but, you know, glove first guys who hit enough and hit well enough and are the emotional hearts of teams, I feel like Frank and Alex are a lot more alike than people may give them credit for.
Not for one second do I think Alex Gordon was the emotional heart of the team.
Who was?
He was robotic and silent. I mean,
No. Saran, come on. You've been around this team enough to understand that that's not true. Alex Gordon was a leader, a silent leader. Those guys exist. You don't have to be rah-rah.
I do agree that he was, I think you're romanticizing the situation a little bit more than it really is. I do agree that he was a leader based on his work ethic and what he did. I do, and 100%. But I think the heart of that team was the four guys I mentioned. And, by the way, Perez, like, I don't even think Gordon's – first of all, Perez is a catcher, right? You just mentioned good glove guy that could hit a little. First of all, Frank White in his era was – they're both – and let's call them both great glove guys so we don't have to mince words. One had 8 gold gloves, one had 7. Yep. Frank White was an above-average second baseman. Alex Gordon offensively. Alex Gordon is a below-average left fielder offensively. Okay,
Frank White, I don't mean to – you're making me besmirch Frank here, which means you're the worst. But Frank White was not an above-average offensive second baseman. I'm sorry. He was.
Not in today's game, but in the year that he played, he was.
Saren, there's this stat called OPS Plus that's adjusted for era and ballpark, and Frank White's was 85. That's 15% below average.
Not at the peak of his powers, no.
Of course not at the peak of his powers.
I gotta go look at it.
Alex Gordon's career OPS plus is 102. He was an above average offensive player.
Salvador Perez is 101. And that's great. OPS plus, and I like the numbers as much as the next guy, but then there's also the eye test. And Salvador Perez's power, like, first of all, I love on base percentage, and the Royals definitely don't value it enough. Okay, and I understand that Sal Perez is.
If you love on base percentage and you're caping for Salvi here, then
no, Salvi doesn't have it until this year when he's 371.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
Perez,
I still love Salvi. Listen, earlier this week I wrote about guys who I've enjoyed watching this year, and the first name, like under the radar, really good seasons. The first name on the list was Salvador Perez. He's been a blast to watch this year. If we're being honest, there's a lot of luck involved right now. He's still a guy who's walked 3 times in 150 plays. and that's like, I love BABIP inflated seasons. That's great. And he's hitting the ball really hard and really well. But this reminds me quite a bit, actually. Remember when he came up back in 2011 and it's like, who's this guy who's supposed to be defensive marvel and whiz, who's suddenly hitting 330. Oh, my God, what do the Royals have here? And then they signed him to the, you know, arguably the, like, I think Salvador Perez's contract, his initial contract, was one of the best contracts in the history of Major League Baseball. No exaggeration. Like, the marginal value that the Royals got from that was obscene.
Of course it was. Listen, here's 120 at age 30. Alex Gordon had 121 home runs at age 30. In his age 30 season, Salvador Perez has 151, and he's a catcher. He plays a defensive position, and Alex Gordon played an offensive position. I mean, the value. It's like, oh, being the best guard in football ever, or the best punter in football ever, does not make you better than the 100th best left tackle.
Yeah,
you were not more valuable.
No,
so the whole valuation is based upon, it's just like across the board. Left field is a position that is important to have offense. Listen, shame on you, Jeff Passan, for making me run down Alex Gordon on Alex Gordon Day. Okay, because that wasn't my intention.
Here's the thing. Shame on you for ignoring on base percentage. You're throwing out. No, I'm serious. You're throwing out numbers like he's got 150 home runs versus 130 something. And I understand you're trying to make your point, but you can't ignore the fact that during the prime of his career, from ages 24 to ages 28, Salvador Perez had an on-base percentage of .285. You cannot ignore that.
No, I don't ignore it.
That if you're not ignoring it, then you can't make the argument that you're trying to.
Listen.
The only way you can make that argument in good faith is to ignore the on-base percentage, which by itself would be a bad faith endeavor.
And the only way to make the argument you're making is to ignore the offensive nature of the position the man played.
I am acknowledging that there are both offensive and defensive sides of the baseball. On the offensive side, Alex Gordon was above average. On the defensive side, Alex Gordon was unparalleled for years. I think Salvador Perez, I mean, he won a Gold Glove in 2018. I don't think he was the best catcher in the American League in 2018.
He's won five.
I know.
And he's been a six-time All-Star.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it anymore.
Okay. That's still pretty impressive behind the dish.
It's very impressive. I agree. If you want to make the argument that that Salvador Perez deserves to have his number retired before Alex Gordon, that's not a bad argument to make. It's not. Okay. But you running down Alex Gordon on the dish.
I did not run down Alex Gordon. See, that's not fair. You jackass. You asked me. First of all, I asked the questions around here, and you put it to me. And I gave you a real answer.
You're so angry. It's beautiful.
All right. Listen, I've got a whole page of stuff I wanted to get to. We're getting to none of it. Let's get to our final four. It's brought to you by the Kansas Lottery. The Kansas Lottery Player Loyalty Program is called Play On. You can enter to win cash prizes, trips, concert tickets, sporting events, and more. Why wait? It's free to join. Details at kslottery.com. I will start you with this. Does Syracuse win a football game this year?
I have no idea. I don't think I know who Syracuse is. Dino Babers still the coach there?
He is.
Yeah, I barely knew that. I have no idea. Who are they? Are they just playing ACC teams? You can see how much I care about Syracuse football.
Okay. All right.
I truly. Do you care about Syracuse football? You poor bastard.
Yes, I do. I do.
Oh my god.
Never mind. All right. The next one. Are you a Trevor Bauer fan? Yes or no?
I am a Trevor Bauer fan. I'm amused by Trevor Bauer and appreciative of the care he puts into pitching, the amount he enjoys the game. I disagree with him on a lot of things. I think he goes about some things the completely wrong way. Philosophically, politically, we're different. We get in arguments about that. But by and large, yes. I think baseball could use more people who love the sport like he does.
Okay. I'll take that. I'm a fan as well. You got to like it when a guy does the Conor McGregor walk off the mound. Ben Scully's memorabilia collection, of which he sold his two World Series rings as well in this to pay for family stuff, but also to give money to charities at UCLA, sold for $2 million. What's the Passan memorabilia collection worth right now?
I'm trying to think what memorabilia I have. I have a signed Los Angeles Lakers Fletch jersey signed by Chevy Chase. I have a baseball signed by I don't know if he's in the big leagues yet. Last I checked, he was in the minor leagues in Japan, the kid who I wrote about in the arm. My memorabilia collection is terrible. I just, like, as a journalist, you don't go and get autographs or anything like that. So I have not taken advantage of the position I'm in. So I would say my memorabilia collection would probably be under $100.
Okay. less than 100. All right, we'll put that there. And then finally, as I mentioned, Vin Scully's memorabilia, sold memorabilia for $2 million and is giving much of it to charities at UCLA. Have you given to the Boost the Qs campaign that's going on right now?
I have legitimately no idea what that is.
They're doing a fundraiser, man. You're one of the most prominent alumni.
And nobody has said a word. Am I really one of the most prominent alumni? I don't believe that.
Of course you are. Of course you are. Faces all over ESPN every night. Come on, you're a big freaking deal, and you're not giving back?
If that's the case, then Syracuse's fundraising department sucks. No, if I give money, Saran, I'm going to give it to, and I do, but when I give money, I give it to the Daily Orange, which is the student newspaper at Syracuse yep. University, where I really learned what it means to be a journalist. So in fact, we maybe should talk at some point, because I am getting together a scholarship effort for Syracuse that's okay. in the works right now. And it's going to be pretty cool, hopefully, in the end.
Yeah, let me know what I can do to help. I would love to be a part of it. Thank you.
For there you go. Look at that. I mean, that's like all we do is yell at each other for 25 minutes, and then in the end, I say, "Can you give me some money?" And you say, "Yes." I love yeah. how this works.
Yeah, I think I'm definitely getting the short end of it. But Jeff, always appreciate the time, my friend. Have a great evening, man. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, brother. Take care.
But first, at Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, burnt end of the hour answer. Joe Green, 74 today, one of two North Texas products named to at least five Pro Bowls. Who's the other? Of course, it's former Chief Brian Waters.
Yep, that's right, Brian Waters. Guy who's on the Hall of Fame ballot this year.
Does he get in?
I don't know that he'll get in, but I don't think he's definitely not going to get in first try. I don't know that he'll ever get yeah. in, but... pretty interesting that he made the ballot. By the way, Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, what we are playing for there. Remember, joeskc.com to send it anywhere you want and get that app to download things. Listen, we'll leave you with this on the kicker, and that is Alex Gordon. I will say again, very satisfied that during his trials and tribulations and his struggles to finally establish himself in the big leagues, there was a lot of things said about him. There was a lot of frustration with Royals fans. And to me, Alex Gordon's career will always be about overcoming that, about being called a bust and being said that, oh, the Royals made a mistake and that he's never going to hit. And I remember people saying, well, why don't they just get rid of him? They should just cut him. And instead, what he did was work and work and work and shut their mouths by being a great player. Congratulations on a great career, Alex Gordon.